Gopi Chanda Valabha Girivara Dari. Gopi Chanda Valabha Girivara Dari. Yasoda Nandana Vajjajana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Vajjajana Ranjana Yamuna Tiravana Chari Yamuna Tiravana Chari Yamuna Tiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjavi Ari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjavi Ari Gopi Chanda Valabha Girivara Dari Gopi Chanda Valabha Girivara Dari Yasoda Nandana Vajjajana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Vajjajana Ranjana Yamuna Tiravana Chari Yamuna Tiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjavi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjavi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjavi Hari Radha Madhava Kunjavi Hari Gopi Chanda Valabha Girivara Dari 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 Yasoda Nandana Vajjajana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Vajjajana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Vajjajana Ranjana Vajjajana Ranjana Yamuna Tiravana Chari na tirava na cha yamuna tirava na cha ri na tirava na cha jaya prabhupada jaya prabhupada 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 Oh Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada
There's two verses, and the first one has tiny, tiny purport. The second one has a more substantial purport. Second one. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. There's two verses this morning, text 28 and 29, and I'm going to go straight to 29 so we can chant it responsively. Bhagavan Anugavaha Yatama Vaishit Vaishtam Astu Sham Brahma Teja Samartopi Antum Neche Matam Tume Bhagavan Anugavaha Yatama Vaishtam Ashtum Astum Sham Brahma Teja Samartopi Antam Neche Matam Tume Bhagavan Anugavaha Yatama Bhaishtam Achtam Tham Brahma Teja Samartopi Hantam Neche Bhagavan Anugavaha Yatama Bhaishtam Ashtu Sham Brahma Teja Samartopi Antum Neche Matam Tume Bhagavan Anugavaha Yatama Bhaishtam Ashtu Sham Brahma Teja Samartopi Antum Neche Matam Tume Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Anugao to his two attendants, Aha said, Yatam, depart from this place, Ma, let there not be, Vaishtam, fear, Astu, let there be, Sham, happiness, Brahma, of a Brahmana, Tejaha, the curse, Samartaha, being able, Api, even, Hantum, to nullify, Na Iche, do not desire, Matam, approved, To, on the contrary, Me, by me. Translation, the Lord then said to his attendants, Jai and Vijay, depart this place, but fear not. All glories to you. Though I am capable of nullifying the Brahmana's curse, I would not do so. On the contrary, it has my approval. And the purport, Srila Prabhupada's purport, as explained in connection with verse 26, all the incidents that took place had the approval of the Lord. Ordinarily, there is no possibility that the four sages could be so angry with the doorkeepers, nor could the Supreme Lord neglect his due doorkeepers, nor can one come back from Vaikuntha after once taking birth there. All these incidents, therefore, were designed by the Lord himself for the sake of his pastimes in the material world. Thus, he plainly says that it was done with his approval. Otherwise, it would have been impossible for inhabitants of Vaikuntha to come back to this material world simply because of a Brahminical curse. The Lord especially blesses the so-called culprits. All glories to you. A devotee once accepted by the Lord can never fall down. That is the conclusion of this incident. And we're going to go back to the previous text, 28, translation. The sages circumambulated the Supreme Lord, offered their obeisances, and returned, extremely delighted at learning of the divine opulences of the Vaishnava. And the word for word, it's plural, the Vaishnavas. Purport. It is still a respectful practice to circumambulate the Lord in Hindu temples, especially in Vaishnava temples. There is an arrangement for people to offer their respects to the deity and circumambulate the temple at least three times. It's a long pastime, and as Prabhupada is writing in the purport, that is the conclusion of this incident. So that is the conclusion of this incident, is the unusualness, the exception to the rule, that's Krishna's rule. Once attaining me, one never comes back again. And that's the rule. And he makes the rule, and he can make the exception to the rule. And another exception he could make is there's a Brahminical curse. Commonly, the rule is if something unusual happens where a Brahmana loses it, becomes angry and curses. Now, there are certainly examples of Durvasa Muni and other losing it, cursing. And it's by uttering something or other, it's a fact. You know, qualified brahmanas, they're not controllers, but if they utter something because of their qualification, the Lord upholds it. He doesn't violate it. Now, the statement is, in the verse, he could, although he doesn't, commonly. And in this case, he could, but he doesn't, because for a different reason than, it's, you know, he's just following his own rules. It's for a different reason. The whole pastime was ordained by him, ordained or planned, or, you know, it's his lila, the whole event. And then what follows that event that's depicted here is another feature of his lila. And, you know, we heard yesterday, I described what was the precipitating factor was Lord Vishnu desiring chivalrous combat. No chivalrous combat in Vaikuntha. No chivalrous combat in Vaikuntha. That's what Jai and Vijay are there for. Keep the combat people out. There's no entrance for such people. So there's no tussle. There's no conflict. It's Vaikuntha. There's no such difficulties. So, you know, the Lord wants a difficulty. But he doesn't invite a difficulty in Vaikuntha. He makes an arrangement then he will go to deal with the difficulty that's in the material world. And thus, Jai and Vijay descend. And he's not unhappy with the four Kumaras. He's not unhappy with Jai and Vijay. Because the four Kumaras, their misconduct, their brahminical samak sarveshu bhuteshu, so nasochati nakangsati, their neutrality has been compromised. To the point of cursing. You don't belong here in the spiritual realm. Leave. No, that's pretty strong. You know, as a sadhaka is instructed to tolerate, what to speak of the four Kumaras. You know what? They're Mahajans. They're in the category of great souls. They don't normally, although they have the capacity, they don't exercise that capacity because, you know, they're on another platform. So it's a plan. Another point I want to focus on, and that's from verse number 28. The sages circumambulated the Supreme Lord, offered their obeisances, and returned, extremely delighted at learning of the divine opulences of the Vaishnavas. Now, their visit to Vaikuntha was part of their capacity. They can travel anywhere. And they were wanting to see Vaikuntha. So the detail is not presented in full, But the four Kumaras, in fact, entered the gate. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the opulence that they saw and et cetera, through their senses, they were able to experience Vaikuntha. And Vaikuntha is a place where not just Vaishnavas, but perfected Vaishnavas, completely perfected Vaishnavas, reside. So they're delighted by a learning of the divine opulences. So the divine opulences of the Vaishnavas is the divine opulences of the personality of Godhead. Or the Vaishnavas share, or they receive, they're bestow upon them are bestowed opulences of Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. And so the place is opulent, you know, there's the transcendental nature of the devotee, the abode of the Supreme Lord, the form of the Supreme Lord, the activities of the Supreme Lord, everything, the whole mix of the spiritual realm is delightful. Now, the four Kumaras, I'm not aware of any example of the four Kumaras visiting Vrindavan. But their, you know, their entrance into, coming to the gate of and entrance into Vaikuntha is appropriate. And they're looking for the greatest of all persons and the greatest of all opulences, and they're delighted by their experience, what they have experienced, what they see, and they're taking that impression back with them. So it's not like Vishnu told them to leave, but he gave his blessings for them to leave. And their circumambulation, et cetera, just seeking the blessings. It's like, you know, as Prabhupada is pointing out here, what's the purpose behind the circumambulation of a deity? What's the purpose of coming before the deity? What's the purpose of coming before the Lord in his deity form or a picture form or any other manifestation of the form of the Lord? It's purification. Now that's for the sadhaka. And these four Kumaras, they're not sadhakas. They're perfected souls. Still perfected, they display this behavior, you can say proper conduct, but respectful. So the stage of perfection doesn't mean there's neglect of rules or standards or behaviors. That there's a stage, this is a detail, there's a stage of bhakti, very often repeated verse that Krishna speaks to Uddhava in Uddhava Gita. Krishna speaks to Uddhava in Uddhava Gita about the stage of spontaneous devotion. And the spontaneous devotion stage, if in spontaneous devotion one neglects to observe the vidhis, the do's and the don'ts, if out of spontaneous devotion one neglects, the verse speaks specifically, Sridhar Swami comments elaborately on this, that one will never fall. The example is given, even if running with your eyes closed is not a good idea. Run with your eyes closed and hope that you don't fall. It's not a good idea. But it's a metaphor to explain if an ordinary person neglects, there's consequences for negligence. If there's a state of spontaneous devotion by which one neglects some vidhi or nishedha, something to be done, something not to be done, one doesn't fall. I mean, a fantastic example, I like the BBT painting of one time when coming before the deity of Jagannath in Jagannath Temple, it was the practice of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he would stand some distance. And most of us have not been in the Jagannath Temple, but the Garuda Stambha is towards the back, not up close. So he would stand behind Garuda Stambha. And from that position, he would take darshan of the deity. And, you know, in ecstasy, become absorbed in the beautiful features of Lord Jagannath. And on one occasion, he was doing like that, and one old lady who couldn't see because there were too many people in front, she climbed up on the shoulders of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in ecstasy, seeing the form of Lord Jagannath. And poor servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Govinda, get down, what are you doing? And she wouldn't pay attention. She was so absorbed. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu checked Govinda. No, no, no. It's just fine. If only I had such enthusiasm to see the form of Lord Jagannath, my life would be perfect. And somehow the lady realized what she had done. And she got down and paid her obeisances. And so she wasn't doing what she did because she knew a rule that said if you're a spontaneous devotee, you can stand on Lord Chaitanya's shoulders, it's okay. Or a sannyasi's shoulders, or, you know, the spontaneous devotion stage is not an excuse to be negligent. So here we are. This is not the spontaneous stage. It's the stage of perfection of the four Kumaras. And they're observing a behavior that's suited for sadhakas, and they're not sadhakas. But it's the principle isn't neglected, because on one hand, the principle is for purification. On the other hand, it's just extending respect and love for the personality of Godhead. So having experienced what they experienced, getting the blessing of Lord Vishnu or Narayana to depart, they depart. And, you know, feeling delighted. Extremely delighted at learning of the divine opulence of the Vaishnavas. Now, on the way into the temple, my path crossed Panchakota, and he explained he's got to catch a flight back to India, so he's not going to stick around, but he said he would listen to class on the radio. So is this broadcast on the radio? Yes? Okay. And on the internet. Okay. So he said he's going to be in the car and listen on the radio. So, Hari Bol Panchakota. The question that he raised yesterday brought some discussion, and I wasn't so satisfied with, you know, the way it ended up. And he probably wasn't either. So I hope, Panchakota, if you're not satisfied, let me know. This following discussion. So yesterday evening, towards the end, Richa Gauranga made a comment or you know, what is a good understanding that Krishna permits the suras and asuras to do what they want to do because he doesn't interfere with the free will of the living entity. Now, so there's two things, like why are there demons at all? What to speak of the Lord sanctioning Jaya and Vijaya to come and become mega demons, because they're not just asuras, they're mega asuras. They're terrorists, they're terrible personalities. But to just on the level of suras and asuras, the divine and demoniac, it certainly has everything to do with coming to the material. There's in the material world, the way Prabhupada says, there's not good and bad, it's all bad. Those who are in the divine quality, subtext, divine doesn't mean they're Vaishnavas. Divine means more in the direction of mode of goodness and less in the direction of ignorance and passion. So those that are in the divine, more in the mode of goodness, less in ignorance and passion, they also are rebellious. Anyone that takes birth in the material world, it's all bad. Good and bad, it's all bad, because one doesn't take birth in the material world unless there's this rebelliousness to the Supreme Lord. So the good or the bad, the suras and the asuras, the divine and demoniac, that's in the material realm. And then there's opportunities and challenges that go with being in the material realm, whatever the modes of nature are. And ultimately, the personality of Godhead, who sanctions the free will of living entity, there has to be, do it negative. Supposing there's no sanctioning of free will, supposing there's no free will, that's no good. If there's no free will, then there isn't love, because love is voluntary. So those that come to the mature world, they said no instead of yes. A voluntary choice. The rebelliousness or the spirit of independence from the position of Parama Purusha. I wish to be the enjoyer. I wish to be the Purusha. So there's a place in the material world. In its material world, there's divine and demoniac, and the Supreme Lord sanctions those choices and the mix, you know, everything in between. So that's why there are such things as suras and asuras, or divine and demoniac in the material world. It's the Supreme Lord not interfering with or sanctioning the misuse of free will in different shades and colors, according to the modes of nature. And then the argument can be, well, wait a minute, then what about the Vaishnavas? Because the Vaishnavas are their sadhakas that are in this material world. Because those that are no longer sadhakas, they don't stay in the material world. They attain the supreme. That's the rule. No, there's exceptions, but that's the rule. So sadhakas are undergoing purification by choice to say yes instead of saying no. And no in the modes of nature, not to say. To yes is beyond the modes of nature. And striving in that direction. So supposing there's some hardship that comes to a devotee that's practicing sadhana bhakti in the material world, and there's some impediment or some hardship or so some something, how to justify that? That was a big part of Panchagoda's question. How can the Supreme Lord permit that? Ordain it to happen, knowing that some sadhakas, some Vaishnavas in the material world are going to undergo hardship. How can you do that? So it's the same. We're sadhakas, and we undergo hardship. And how are we supposed to look at that hardship? Again, it's in principle, two things. I'm going to end abruptly, so because this is the last one. There's going to be lots of discussion. So supposing we're sadhakas striving not just to be, you know, nice or less misery and more enjoyment, kind of, you know, karma mishra bhakti, but striving for shuddha bhakti because of good association and the cyclic succession messages and striving in that way, striving for shuddha bhakti. And here comes some hardship. So how are we supposed to regard it? And there's different ways, multiple different ways. The Lord is giving us an opportunity to take deeper shelter of Him. Just like, you know, so many pastimes in Vrindavan. Here comes demon number 25. And then the devotee experiences some... And their dependence upon Krishna spikes. It increases dramatically when they're in difficulty, what to speak of when Krishna's in difficulty, like the Kaliya. So the intense shelter-taking increases. Or even in the case, in two pastimes, it as if dead, the coward boys that drank the water from the Kaliya Lake and the coward boys that entered the mouth of a Agasura demon, as if dead. But they weren't dead. And then Krishna's glance revived them, brought them back from as if dead. So Krishna will protect such elevated personalities. What about the rest of us that aren't such elevated personalities? Krishna's protection will be there. And then it's an opportunity, depending upon any given individual. It's an adverse circumstances are an opportunity arranged by Krishna or sanctioned by Krishna to increase one's full surrender. No ifs, ands, or buts. No circumstances, then I can surrender. Unqualified surrender. So the unqualified surrender may be tested. There's many, many expressions of all of that. Krishna, I'm going to tell a little Prabhupada story and then I'm going to end. This is in New York in Henry Street Temple, and the Vyasa-san at the Henry Street Temple, at least initially, it was very elevated. Then it got changed to, it wasn't so elevated. It was different size. But with elevated Vyasa-san, so I was sitting right by the Vyasa-san looking up, and Prabhupada was saying, describing, Krishna may sometimes examine his devotee. The devotee says to Krishna, "My dear Lord, I want shelter of your lotus feet, and anything at all can come, and I'm ready to take shelter of your lotus feet." Something like that. And Prabhupada then said, Krishna may say, "Oh, he wants shelter at my lotus feet? What about some difficulty, And then the devotee would say to Krishna, "Whatever you want to give me difficulty, that's okay. I just want shelter of your lotus feet." And then Krishna may say, maybe he really wants me. What about some sense gratification, Krishna may say. And then I remember very clearly, Prabhupada stuck his arm out, looked the other way and said, no, I don't want sense gratification, I only want you. Then Krishna may say, well, it looks like they really want me. All right, I'll give myself to them. No, that's a slow motion way of describing what may be going on in our lives. Some opportunity for sense gratification, and it, although it's there in front of your eyes or nose and so forth, it's no. Something can be engaged in Krishna's service, that's okay, but for sense gratification, no. And same, you know, some hardship. Here comes some hardship. So that was in part Panchagoda's question. Why would Krishna send hardship to the devotee, the sadhaka that's in this material world, not yet a pure devotee? Here comes some hardship. Even, you know, worse than hardship, like severe or pain or death or, you know, something very severe. Why would Krishna do that? Why would Krishna subject his devotee? So some same reasons. And it happens. And so why would Krishna sanction that? Why would Krishna ordain the giant Vijay to fall? Because he wants chivalry. And then, you know, at the expense of the sadhakas and the striving devotees in the material world, they undergo hardship or worse. So whether he comes or he doesn't come, the nature of the place is like that. It's just the nature of the place. The nice devotee may undergo some difficulty. So we go way up in Prahlad Maharaj, and you know, then the rest of us that aren't Prahlad Maharaj, some very great difficulty. And the Bhagavatam is filled with it. You know, let's take one more example is in the eighth canto of the Bhagavatam, the Bali Maharaj gets word that the demigods had become weakened, and he masses massive armies and attacks Indrapuri. And he takes over Indrapuri. And the mother of the demigods is Aditi. So what to do? She goes to her husband, Kashyapa. I want to favor, you know, it's a motherly nature. She wants to favor her sons. There are demigods, and how to return their position and their opulence to them. So her husband gives a formula, the Payavrata Yajna, and you know, and so then she follows precisely what he says. And I really like the description. For a really long time, she fixed her mind completely on the personality of Godhead, or the bhokta of the yajna, without deviation. It's like, you know, practicing sadhana for us, where there's the worship of the deity or the chanting of the name or the hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam or whatever the activity is that's our particular sadhana at that stretch of time, with mind that doesn't move. So difficulty, you know, if a deity had hers, and we have ours, and somebody has theirs. So why difficulty? You know, in her case, in our case, in others' case, it's sadhakas are, it's an opportunity to become examined by the Supreme Lord and qualified for unmixed devotional service. And if one departs this world in that consciousness, what's the destination? Unmixed devotional service. The mind is fixed on the personality of Godhead. You go to the personality of Godhead without fail, without doubt. Mahashuchaha. So there's Panchakota. If you want to add to the question, please do so at your convenience after you get on the airplane or whatever you're going to do. So we can. I'd like to carry this discussion forward if you want to. And then anybody else in the room. I'm concluding the class for this morning. It's 8:45. See if there's some comments or questions. Yes. I can't hear so well. Well, you know the answer. There's two answers. You know both answers. One is they had a desire to serve the Supreme Lord, fulfilling his chivalry aspiration. So they chose that one. The other was fewer lifetimes, we come back quicker, so we'll choose that one. That's why. Two reasons. Now, you might choose differently than what they did, but that's okay. They chose that way for those two reasons. Anyone else? What?
Darshana. The devotee sees everything as equal, heaven and hell. Yes, Hare Krishna.
So it fits into the Leela.
Yes. The first answer is...
The second one also. Yeah. You know, they... Take the microphone. They, Jai and Vijay, aspire to fulfill the Lord's desire. And so three lifetimes... They'll come back quicker. That there's the rule, that there's exception to the rule. He's making an exception by his intention. So then they'll come back more quickly. That's stated twice. First to the four Kumaras, and then to them directly. Why not? You know, they'll come back more quickly. That's what they wanted. That's what the Lord wanted. They're transcendentalists. Swapamapi. I understand the verse that you're reciting. They see equally. At the same time, they want to be with the Lord. So that's seeing equally is on the material platform. They're on the spiritual platform. They want to be with the Lord. And the Lord wants them to be with him. So it's part of the Lord's plan. Seeing equally. What?
They wanted their job back. They wanted their job in the spiritual world. They wanted to get back to it.
So they're not neutral towards that aspect. That's what he's saying. Yes.
Mom Marsh, thank you for your class. I wanted to ask you know, like a, you know, a sadhaka, a devotee, sometimes things, unthinkable things can happen where
yeah.
you lose a child or, you know, just a tragic
yes.
happening. And, you know, someone may say, a devotee may say, well, I guess that's your karma. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I've seen happen. My understanding and what you're saying is that it's not really like that.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. The nature, here's two things. The nature of devotional service, the nature of abhas bhakti is prarabdha karma is annihilated. Prarabdha karma, you know the meaning, that which is happening now, prarabdha karma. However, there may be tendency that may appear again because the prarabdha karma is eliminated, but tendency may not be eliminated by abhas bhakti. But someone who engages in devotional service, meaning, you know, the standard that Rupa Goswami is given, where at least I'm cultivating the standard of Krishna only should be pleased. Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam. Krishna only should be pleased. One who is striving in that way, there may be, just like the fan spinning, you shut off the electricity, the fans continue to spin because of tendency. So there may be some residual tendency, but that's what's happening. It's not karma. There's this really nice discussion, Krishna pastime. And when the cowherd boys enter into the mouth of a ghost or a demon, Jiva Goswami comments, how did this happen? Because these are cowherd boys. These are Krishna's eternal associates. So there's no prarabdha karma for such exalted pure devotees. And he adds that Paramatma doesn't give the inspiration to again go do karma. There's no residual effect because they're pure devotees. So one who is cultivating like that, the blades, there may be some residual effect, but for the person who has achieved the platform of devotional service like Jayan Vijay, there's no residual effect. So now back to your, you know, some misfortune comes. It may be a residual effect, but it's not past misdeed. Then comes this nice verse, one of the many nice verses, you know, from the prayers of Lord Brahma, chapter 14, text number 8, Tateno Kampam Susamikshamano. And Prabhupada paraphrasing that in Nectar of Devotion, saying this should be the standard of life for all devotees. Now, for all devotees, we're in this shadow bhakti stage for sadhakas, largely. It's not shuddha. Now, there are those that are on the platform of aspiring very, very focused way for Krishna only should be pleased. But, you know, for the rest of us, then there's misfortune that comes, and you do my past misdeeds like the blades of the fan continuing to spin, even when the electricity is shut off. So misfortune, that's a misfortune, or a way to read for, when something calamitous happens. And someone who's in that position, who can say what their destination depends upon their consciousness, their destination. I'm going to tell a little story. It's from this coming weekend with Tamahara and I are going to be speaking on Bhakti Sandarbha. But Jiva Goswami makes a reference to even unintentional bhakti performed by a living entity that isn't even in the human form. He makes reference to Vishnu Dharmottara Purana, where it states there was a mouse, and the mouse wanted ghee. So he climbed on the altar, and he saw the ghee, and he started licking the ghee, but his whiskers caught on fire, and his face burned, and he died. His next life, he became a queen. The mouse became a queen. And the queen, because of her previous life as a mouse, her whole life she spent just bringing a bowl of ghee to the deity for their offering. And at the end of, according to Vishnu Dharmottara Purana, at the end of her life, the Vaikuntha Vimana descended and took her to the spiritual world.
You know, yesterday I went to the springs, and I was just about to go in, and I saw a snake, and he lunged and he grabbed this little tiny frog. It wasn't a big snake, and it was a little frog. And I felt so bad. I got a stick and I tried to I tried to interfere, but it was no use. The snake had the little frog, and the frog kept on going, croak, croak, you know, so pitifully. So I just chanted.
Yeah, that's what you can do.
Yeah, I just chanted to the frog, you know, and so hopefully he'll take a better.
Okay. you've been infected by bhakti. Someone else in the front.
Maharaj, is there at any time where a person, devotee who is practicing, but because they stop practicing?
That's a different story.
Then what happens? They're back to the prarabdha karma, and they're not. Is not the tendency, or how does it work?
It's not the same as if they had never done any devotional service and then stopped. It's different. But they're, again, subject to the laws of material nature by stopping. There's benefit that's eternally theirs, but they stopped. So now they're subjected to the laws of nature again. Karma.
But then we also hear that a devotee who may, you know, perform any gross mistake, or they may, because of previous tendencies, they are unable to.
That's different.
Give up something.
That's not. That's a momentary lapse, but it's not leaving. Swapam apyasya dharma shatrayate. Kshipram bhavati dharma. Krishna corrects. So they're on course, but they make a slip. And when they slip, they deviate. But they get back, positioned back, because of that ongoing submission. But supposing there isn't ongoing. We're going to be discussing this on Saturday. The phrase that Jiva Goswami uses is laxity or slackening. That's Bhaktivinoda Thakur's time. Slackening in submission. And when there's slackening in submission, then it's different than, you know, a momentary lapse. It's a different rule, different. You know, because it's the heart's orientation towards Krishna. And so there's different rules, different principles governing the energy under which a living entity is guided. Now, I'm looking at the clock. It's 9 o'clock. So I'd like to end, and we'll see you all sometime later, maybe Sunday, or we'll see. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.